I invite you to stand for the reading of the gospel. Today it is Luke, the second chapter, verses 41 through 52. Each year his parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. When he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to their custom. After the festival was over, they were returning home, but the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents didn't know it. Supposing that he was among their band of travelers, they journeyed for a full day while looking for him among their family and friends. When they didn't find Jesus, they returned to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple. He was sitting among the teachers, listening to them and putting questions to them. Everyone who heard him was amazed by his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were shocked. His mother said, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Listen, your father and I have been worried. We've been looking for you." And Jesus replied, "Well, why were you looking for me? Didn't you know that it was necessary for me to be in my father's house?" But they didn't understand what he was saying. Jesus went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. His mother cherished these words in her heart. And Jesus matured in wisdom and years and in favor with God and his people. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. So, is it just me and my weirdness? Or have any of you ever wondered what Jesus was like when he was an adolescent boy? Was he like other boys that age that we know with the long gangly arms that are out of proportion with their long gangly bodies? The ones who trip over invisible objects whenever they walk across the room, especially if there happens to be a pretty girl sitting there? When Jesus talked, did his voice go from one extreme to the other, from a nice mellow bass to a high squeaky soprano, all in the same sentence? Was that Jesus? Or was he somehow different from other boys? There's really no way of knowing the answers to any of those questions, and in all honesty, they really aren't that important. But today's scripture lesson seems to suggest that there was one thing that he had in common with most other boys. And like it or not, Jesus had an attitude. Before you decide to stone me, I need you to hear me out. We tend to be so focused on Jesus' divinity that we forget God sent him to earth so he could also be fully human. And if we allow that humanness to show through, if we don't make him so divine that he's perfect in every way, which he was, but yet he wasn't, that humanness, it can teach us so much. If we allow him to have that 12-year-old attitude, even for just a minute, it's amazing what we can learn. In today's gospel lesson, we tend to focus on his divinity. We talk about how the people around him were clueless. And there are parts of his divinity that show through. It appears as though his thinking was far beyond that of even the wisest and most highly educated religious leaders in all of Jerusalem. He was sitting in the temple talking to them, asking them questions, and they were amazed at what he said. Now, that leads many of us to conclude that well, Mary and Joseph were either totally clueless themselves, or they were completely blind to who Jesus really was. I mean, why else would they spend 3 days looking for him? Why else would they be out of their minds with worry? He was the Messiah. He could take care of himself. How could they have raised him for 12 years and not know that he was in the temple? Could the answer be that up until that point, they had been dealing with a fairly normal child, one who was easily distracted and sometimes influenced by rather concerning things? All of this is conjecture, of course. But if we allow Jesus to be more of a typical 12-year-old, then we can begin to understand what was actually going on in today's reading and why his parents were so upset when they discovered he was missing. So let's begin with what we actually know. Mary and Joseph had taken their family to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. This was one of three mandated holidays that all Jewish males over the age of 13 were expected to attend. The problem was, it was a real hardship on families. For Mary and Joseph to travel from Nazareth to Jerusalem, it was probably at least a 5-day journey. And that's if they could move rather quickly. Not only was it a long, difficult trip, there were built-in dangers. Robbers knew that people going to Passover had money and possessions, and they were more than willing to help themselves. And if they didn't get what they wanted, they had absolutely no problem with killing the person. It was a dangerous trip all the way around, an extremely dangerous trip. That's why people chose to travel in large bands of people. I mean, they would not think of making that journey by themselves. They traveled with neighbors and extended family. And you can imagine that just like when we gather with our family, you know, the women tend to go over here and talk, and the men go over here and talk, and the children stay together. Well, that's the way they traveled. The women were normally in front, the men were behind, and the children were kept between them, so they could keep an eye on them and make sure that they were safe. That explains how they could travel for an entire day and not know that Jesus was missing. They assumed that he was there with all of his friends, with his cousins, with his neighbors. That's where he belonged, and he knew that's where he belonged. And it also explains why they were panicked when they discovered he was missing. Not only were robbers on the way a real possibility, Jerusalem was filled with people who had absolutely no compunction in preying on the innocent people who came for the holiday. So I ask you, why wouldn't a parent who discovered their 12-year-old child was missing panic? Why wouldn't they be upset? Now, the other important thing that we need to know is that being 12 years old, Jesus was going to be bar mitzvahed the next year when he was 13. It was the religious custom. It was the legal custom. 1 month after he was bar mitzvahed at 13, he would be considered an adult. Now, how many of you remember being almost 18? Did you consider yourself an adult? Did you resent your parents telling you what to do, or when they tried to enforce the rules that had been in place since you earned the keys to the car? I mean, after all, you were an adult. You knew what you were doing. You could take care of yourself. And looking it back, did you ever say anything to your parents that you eventually regretted? Almost 18-year-olds have an attitude, don't they? Well, that's where Jesus' story was. That's where Jesus was in this story. He was on the verge of becoming an adult. And while he no doubt wanted the independence that comes with being an adult, Mary and Joseph knew that he was almost an adult, but almost didn't quite make it. There were still things he needed to know. And at that point, he was still their child. God was counting on them to fulfill the responsibilities they were given when they said yes to God's rather unusual and unlikely plan. And yes, they had been very good parents. And if we really examine the passage that we read today, they can teach us so much about raising our own children so that they become responsible adults. Have you ever stopped to really consider the very short but very painful exchange between Mary and Jesus? I mean, she asked the exact question that any of us would ask once we found a very lost child. How could you do this to us? What on earth were you thinking? But what was Jesus' response? What's wrong? You should have known where I was. Now, on the one hand, coming from Jesus, it's easy to conclude that he was speaking about his divinity. And in part, he was. But on the other hand, it could be that he was questioning why they didn't look for him in the one place they had always taken him. From the time he was a baby, Mary and Joseph made certain that Jesus was in the temple. It was the one place that he no doubt grew up loving, that he looked forward to going to. You know, friends, Mary and Joseph took their role as parents very seriously. They had done everything in their power to raise their son in a healthy and loving environment. Knowing how they traveled to Jerusalem tells us that they made certain that Jesus was a part of an extended family. He knew the people he was traveling with. He played with them. He may have spent the nights with them. Mary and Joseph wanted him to grow up in an environment of powerful, loving adults. He He was with people that listened to him, that cared for him. There were people he was comfortable with, who he felt secure with. And we know all of this because his parents obviously weren't concerned when they first left Jerusalem. They assumed that he was doing what he knew he was supposed to do. They assumed he was where he was supposed to be. And they assumed that if anyone happened to notice that he was missing, they would tell him. Mary and Joseph were as comfortable with these people as Jesus was. The second thing Mary and Joseph did was to raise Jesus, knowing that the temple was a safe place to go with his questions. It was a place where he was safe, where those around him would listen and care for him. Yes, he was the Messiah. But God sent him to Mary and Joseph for a reason. They were to teach him what he needed to be fully human. Christian, isn't that exactly what God wants from each of us? God is asking us to raise our children so that they can become adults who know what it is to be fully human. Humans who care for one another. Humans who interact. Humans who look out for each other, even in difficult circumstances. This is a job that cannot be done in isolation. Every parent and every child needs the support of an entire community. They need a safe place to come with their questions and their concerns, where they can seek advice, knowing that they won't be condemned or criticized, knowing that when they stumble and fall, when they make a mistake, their life isn't over, that they're still loved, that there's still hope, there's still a future. And the question we need to ask ourselves is, are we providing them that space, that environment that's filled with the Spirit of God? Are we providing them the atmosphere that lets them grow in wisdom and in faith? And as adults who are raising those children, are we doing everything in our power to provide them with the support they need to grow in wisdom and in knowledge? Do they have that caring environment of an extended family, of a close circle of friends? Are there places they can go beyond their parents to seek advice and to receive encouragement? And most importantly, are they being given a faith that is so deep, so strong, that they know beyond a doubt that God is always there, ready to help them, even in the toughest situations and the scariest of moments? Raising children, it is both a God-given blessing and a monumental task. And take it from Jesus, raising parents can be equally hard and difficult. That's why we need all the help we can get. Mary and Joseph understood that. And I pray that all of us do too. May we be that place. May we be that people. May our children grow in wisdom and in stature. To God be the glory. And all God's children say, Amen. Amen.